Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hey friends, it's me again. You know what's really easy to do and even easier to forget? Help me out and hit that like button if you're listening on YouTube. If you're listening somewhere else, what the hell? Pop in and give me a thumb. Say hi while you're at it. Helps me a ton with that damn algorithm. And besides, it's always nice to see you there. All right then, let's hop on that crazy train.
All aboard!
Hey, welcome back, my friend. Hey, happy Notary Public Day. Great gig. You play Xbox all day till someone knocks on your door to watch them sign a piece of paper. Worthy of a national holiday, though? Even you could do that, Chester. Yeah, well, there are 4.5 million of them here, twice as many as the military. I guess it's a good idea to keep them happy. Anyway, come on in, friend. Oh, that's better. I mean, can you picture 4.5 million angry nerds coming at you with their stamps? Jesus. Anyway, before we get started, I'd like to remind you about the new CTFDN promotion we're doing, Nightmare Machine. If you've ever thought to yourself, man, I've got the greatest idea for a store and I'd love to hear it on CTFDN, well, that's where Nightmare Machine comes in. Here's how it works. Choose a tier to support the channel. Tell us a few details about yourself and what you'd like your story to be about. The team will craft an original horror tale inspired by your ideas, then bring them to life with our signature narration and sound design. No writing required on your part, just your great idea, and let us do the rest. And here's the best part, you get the story rights. Put it in a book, perform it yourself, sell it to Paramount Pictures. You get every dime, and we get jack shit. How's that for a deal? To submit, send an email to nightmaremachine@chillintalesfordarknights.com with the subject line, Nightmare Machine Story Request. Include your name, any details you'd like to include, and any specific voice actors you'd like to be included. You get the idea. As part of the order process, make your donation directly through our GoFundMe campaign at helpchillin.org, the ongoing fundraiser supporting the continued production of new horror content. So tonight, we welcome back author J.G. Martin. This one's a blend of cosmic horror, corporate indifference, and a little social commentary, and it comes from his book, Crooked Gospels, which you can find on Baylock's Books. So without further delay, from author J.G. Martin, I give you Headlights. They built a research lab on Brayford Hill. Something called the Rivale Institute for Emergent Technologies. Whatever that means. Our mayor sold us on the idea. She promised the lab would stimulate the economy, help Brayford's lagging industries. The idea was that all those scientists would come through town and spend. And maybe some of their fancy STEM cash would trickle down into our blue-collar pockets. But it never did. Only thing Rivale managed to do was cast a shadow. I never spoke with any of the personnel that worked there. Not sure any of us did. They mostly kept to themselves. Didn't come through town for supplies, lunch, or even a lousy beer after their shift. They avoided us like we were crawling with disease. Like we were ghosts, invisible and make-believe. Maybe they had been ordered to, or maybe they just didn't care. Not sure it matters. What does matter is that Rivel ruined my town. It brought something evil to Brayford, and all of it started with the alarms. They sounded a week ago, just past 10 p.m. Must have woken up half the town. Then the other half woke up when half of Rivel went up in flames. An explosion blew apart its southern compound, sending concrete raining down on us like meteors and turning the night sky blazing red. Our mayor claimed it was a gas leak. "Nothing to worry about," she assured us. "Just sit tight in your homes while emergency crews isolate the leak, and Brayford will be back up and running in no time." Sure, no problem. But then the gas leak became a chemical spill. And then that chemical spill turned into a radioactive snowfall that turned our skin to mush. And next thing you know, I'm waking up to Sheriff Milton dropping off a box of rations.
"Lockdown's been extended," he said. "Don't open the door, boy. Ain't safe."
My neighbor, Benny West, stuck his bald head out of his trailer window.
"Extended? For how long? Been a week already, and I ain't got much booze left."
Milton folded his arms and wrinkled his snub nose.
"Can't say I give a fuck, Benjamin. Figure it'll go on as long as it takes. Now close your damn window before you get yourself sick. Christ almighty."
"But you ain't sick,"
Benny called as Milton clambered into his truck.
"That's 'cause they got me taking special pills, ain't it?"
Milton shouted back, arm draped out the driver's side window.
"I'll be by with another supply drop in a week, but until then, stay the hell put. Both of you."
"Bullshit,"
Benny spat.
"You'll be back tonight like you were last night, and the night before. I seen your fucking headlights glaring through my window, Milton. You're a goddamn creep, you are."
Milton craned his head out of his truck, incredulous.
"The hell you talking about? You don't think I got better shit to do than watch you twiddle your shrimp dick all night? Ain't my headlights you're seeing."
He jerked a thumb toward my trailer.
"Maybe it was Danny's. Reckon he'd get off on that shit."
The sheriff chuckled to himself, his heavy hand slapping the outside of his truck as he pulled out of our driveway.
"Wasn't me,"
I called to Benny through my screen door.
"Ain't stepped outside since the explosion. Swear it."
Benny West regarded me for a moment, his lip curling and revealing what was left of his teeth. Guy had more chemical vices than just alcohol. Everybody in town knew that.
"I know it weren't you, Danny,"
he told me with a sigh.
"Them headlights made my skin crawl in a way you never could. Truth be told, I ain't convinced it was Milton either."
I shook my head.
"Then who? Dawson?"
Benny snorted.
"Doubt it. Dawson may be dimmer than a busted light bulb, but he ain't rotten. Not like Milton."
Benny met my gaze from across our driveway, his bloodshot eyes darkening.
"Listen, kid, I've been around a while, and I know when things ain't right. And right now, things ain't right. Something strange is afoot in Brayford. And if you ask me, I reckon Rivel's behind it."
My stomach nodded. Rivel gave me the creeps for reasons I couldn't put to words.
"You take care now, Danny. Give me a holler if you need anything."
I gave him a smile as he slid his window shut, vanishing behind his cardboard curtain. And that was it. The last time I ever saw Benny alive. The shot rang out the next day, just past sunrise. Nearly leapt out of my bed. I rushed to my window, worrying there might have been another explosion up at Rivel. But the concrete tower was untouched. The snow outside, on the other hand, it was glistening red. Benny West lay motionless in nothing but his underwear, a smoking handgun beside what remained of his skull. I didn't think, just moved. I dashed outside, dropped to my knees, started scooping Benny's brains back in his skull as if it'd fix him. Stupid. I found his suicide note scrunched in his fist. Didn't matter much, cause the damn page was soggy. So messy with blood it couldn't be read. Then again, it didn't need to be. Benny's last will and testament was written across his face. Struggle was etched into his every wrinkle. Poverty modeling his jaundiced skin. The smell of whiskey still hung in the air. A ghost of his last breath. Benny West hadn't killed himself. This was a murder. He'd been done in by his own demons, cornered by them in that snow-capped trailer. And with nowhere to run and nowhere to hide, they'd taken their pound of flesh. I called it in, my voice rattling with grief. I'd never seen a dead body before. Not like that. 20 minutes later, a white Chevy growled up the driveway, and Sheriff Milton hopped out, beady eyes leaking fury. He started marching my direction. I sat there trembling in Benny's blood, and I thought we might share a moment of sorrow, that he might wrap an arm around me and say something like, "Sorry you had to see that, Danny." But instead, his boot caught me in the chest, knocked me onto my back.
"The hell is wrong with you, boy?"
he spat, gripping me by my collar and heaving me back up off the ground. He shoved me forward, walked me down until I was scrambling back into my trailer, his hulking frame eclipsing the doorway.
"Didn't you hear what I said? The snow's made of poison, radioactive. It'll kill you worse than any bullet, and it'll take its time doing it, too."
But the sheriff's hair was flecked with snow. His boots were covered in it. There was a melting pile of snow on my welcome carpet, too, courtesy of him.
"All due respect,"
I began, choosing my words with care.
"But the snow didn't kill Benny, Sheriff. It was his demons. They ate him up, spat him back out."
Milton fixed me with a glare.
"You think you're a detective now? Here's a bright idea for that spacious skull of yours. How about you leave the policing to me, and I'll leave the drinking to you. Sound fair?"
He reached forward, ruffled my hair like I was some punk. It set me on edge. I opened my big mouth and started talking about things I probably shouldn't have.
"Snow ain't killed the deer yet, Sheriff. Seen them passing by all week. Smaller game, too. Rabbits, squirrels. They ain't immune to radiation so far as I know, and I doubt you're sneaking them those fancy pills of yours. So how do you explain that?"
The sheriff met my gaze, his mustache quivering dangerously. Milton was a big man, twice my age maybe, but also twice my size. He got right up to my face and took off his gloves, curled his hands into fists that made his knuckles crack and sent my balls up into my stomach.
"All right,"
he said in a quiet, uneven voice.
"Let me put it to you in simple terms. This ain't your town, Danny. Sure, you might have been born here. Maybe your ma and pa even helped make it the shit heap it is today. I don't know. Don't care either. What I do know is your place. And do you know where that place is, Danny?"
I didn't answer. Wasn't sure I knew the right answer. Milton's fist connected with my stomach. I dropped to my knees, wheezing. He lifted his arm, brought it down across my jaw, and I collapsed onto the floor of my trailer. He rested his boot against the side of my head.
"It's right here,"
he whispered, and I could almost hear the smile in his voice.
"It's here, under this fine boot of mine. You see it?"
I struggled, but Milton pressed down harder, and pain lanced across my temples.
"Asked you a question," he snapped. "Do you see it?"
Yes, Sheriff,
I stammered.
"I see it."
He lifted his boot, but not before wiping the dirty snow from the bottom into my hair.
"Good. Now I'm going to give you a piece of advice.
stay indoors tonight. Don't step so much as an arm outside, and keep your eyes away from your windows. Better yet, did I fucking say you could get up? I paused, half risen on my hands and knees. A smirk played at the edge of Milton's lips. Good boy, you sit there like the mutt you are until I'm finished. Now, where was I? Right. Stay the fuck inside or I'll break your damn legs to keep you here. He sucked back a mouthful of saliva, then spat it in my face. Anywho, nice chatting with you, Danny. Take care now. Milton left, slamming my door behind him. From the window, I watched as he hefted Benny's corpse into the back of his truck, whistling like he was out fishing on the lake. Betty, he said into his radio. It's Milton. Just heading back to Rivell now. Mind sending word up that Benjamin West was a suicide? Didn't see no black bile or nothing. Ain't their problem, I guess. A woman's voice crackled over the radio.
Understood. Will do, Sheriff.
Milton clambered into his cab, and the truck roared to life, tearing off down the driveway and veering right onto the valley road. Fucking psychopath, I muttered. Still smarting and bruised, I stomped over to my liquor cupboard and cracked a bottle of whiskey. Started to sip. I set up shop at my window, looking out at Benny's trailer and the swaying pine trees towering behind it, and the bloodstained snow sitting out front. I scowled. Black bile. That was what Milton had said to Betty. There wasn't any black bile, so this wasn't a Rivell problem. The bottle hit my lips again. Seemed to me Benny had it right. This whole thing loops back to Rivell, and the radioactive snow was nothing but a means of keeping us out of their business. But what was that business? Another drink, then a few more. Before long, I'd polished half the bottle, and the sun was creeping low on the horizon, making gnarled shadows of the trees. My thoughts turned. They became tangled things, all out of control and veering into territory I swore to never again set foot. Territory like her. Vanny Williams, the love of my life and the one that got away. The thought of her made me smile, only not in a happy way, but more of a glum, wistful sort of way. I'd driven Vanny out of my life, ironically for just this reason, my damn drinking. My demons had ruined the one good thing I ever had. Grimacing, I threw open my trailer door and hurled what was left of my bottle into the trees. I hiccuped. Warmth flooded my veins. That fiery impulsiveness born of late-night benders and a lifetime of regrets.
Vanny,
I mumbled, staggering out of my trailer.
I'm sorry,
The more I stood out there mumbling to myself, the more my thoughts got moving. Before long, I was wondering how she was, if she had enough supplies to weather this lockdown, if she was going stir-crazy being cooped up on her own, if she wasn't just a bloody smear on the snow like Benny. I zipped up my jacket, fired on a pair of gloves and a beanie. That's the thing about being shit-faced drunk. You don't think things through. You just act. Whatever seems right in the moment, you go along with it. Hard to help. And at that moment, it seemed like I needed to see Vanny come hell or high water. My boots crunched as I trudged down my driveway, swaying slightly. That night, there wasn't much of a moon, just clouds and dark. I stuffed my hands into my jacket, shivering with misty breath and marveling at the temperature. It was frigid, damn near the coldest I'd ever felt. I kept near the edge of the road, walking beneath the pines creaking their timber song.
Through their branches, I could make out the dark monolith of Ravel. I glared at it. It sat perched up there like some kind of concrete gargoyle, its black tower reaching skyward, peppered with a dozen antennas. It seemed to look down on Brayford, almost like it owned us. And maybe it did. A diesel roar split the night. I wheeled about, squinting as a pair of headlights flickered through the tree line, barreling in my direction. Sheriff Milton? I couldn't be sure, but I wasn't curious enough to steal a look either. Scrambling over the shoulder of the road, I pressed my back against the wall of snow. Lights painted the tree line in front of me. Their glow magnified as the truck rumbled closer, casting writhing silhouettes of the reaching branches. It wasn't that I was afraid of being thrown in jail. It was more that I figured Milton might actually have been serious about breaking my legs. The sheriff carried a lot of power in Brayford. It was an open secret that he had a short fuse and a penchant for violence, and more than a few folks had earned a lifelong limp after getting on his bad side. The truck closed in. Its bright gaze struck deeper into the woods, pouring past layers of frosty pines. I tensed. A weight settled on my chest, as if an invisible hand was slowly pressing the air out of me. The engine growled closer. The earth rumbled against my back as it rolled around the bend, its heavy tread thundering on down the road. My breath, held captive, finally escaped. A smile found my face. Lucky sumbitch I was, dodging Milton like that. If he'd been that bold in my own trailer, I couldn't imagine what he would have done out here in the woods, had he? Brakes screeched. There was a thunk of shifting gears, and then the Chevy began to reverse. It wheeled to a stop right above me. My muscles coiled tight, ready to spring but stuck tight with anxiety. A door opened. Heavy boots thumped down and onto new fallen snow. A radio transmitter whined.
Dispatch, this is Milton.
A crackle of static, then a woman's voice.
You loud and clear, Sheriff. What can I do for you?
Evening, Betty,
Milton said, chewing on his words like they were made of gravel.
Be advised, I got some fresh footsteps in the snow here, just off Grant Passage, about halfway between, Rickson and Creeksfield. Appears they're heading down into the valley. Might have another runner on our hands.
One of Rivell's?
Doesn't look it. Can't see none of that black bile. But could be they ain't ripe yet. Go ahead and have Dawson start heading my way, and I'll have myself a looky-loo in the meantime.
Will do, Sheriff.
Betty replied, her voice tight with concern.
By the way, Rivell reckon you ought to avoid the trees tonight.
I know what they think, Betty, but I don't take orders from Ravel. They pay well, but this is my town. Always has been. Always will be. I'll be just fine. Now go ahead and give Dawson a ring while I handle things here. Am I clear?
Yes.
Yes what?
Milton growled. Betty's voice returned with an anxious tremor.
Yes, Sheriff.
There. That's better, darling. Now, you get to your work and I'll get to mine. Milton out.
His radio beeped and I heard him clear his throat on the road above.
All right,
he said loudly.
Don't know who you are, but I'll make this nice and easy. You got two options. Option one is you come out, and maybe if I like the story you give me, I'll let you off with a handful of broken fingers and teeth for my trouble.
Snow crunched under Milton's boots as he stepped into the glare of his headlights, his monstrous shadow engulfing the trees before me. His silhouette raised the shotgun, racked it.
Your second option, he thundered, is that I drag your corpse out of those trees. You got 3 seconds.
Gunfire split the night, I flinched violently, biting down on my knuckles as a storm of splinters fell over me.
One!
Another rack of the shotgun. My lungs burned, starved for a breath I couldn't risk taking.
Two!
Another blast. More bark exploded, this time so close the shrapnel cut into my face. My muscles locked, every fiber of my being trembling uncontrollably. Tears stung my eyes as reality sank in. He was gonna kill me.
Final warning!
The sheriff's radio beeped loudly.
Sheriff? Sheriff Milton, do you read me?
Milton heaved a sigh, grinding his teeth.
Christ alive, Betty! The fuck is it now? Didn't I tell you I was in the middle of...
It's Dawson.
Betty cut in, frantic.
You asked me to send him your way, but I'm not getting any response.
God help me,
Milton muttered, lowering his shotgun and stalking back to his truck.
All right. Give me Dawson's last location and I'll swing by and have a look.
You don't think that one of Rivell's might have...
It ain't one of Rivell's,
Milton spat.
Dawson's probably passed out in his cruiser again, snoring through his bloody shift. Don't worry. I'll be sure to teach the boy a lesson he won't soon forget.
But what about Rivell's escaped?
The truck door slammed shut. The engine roared as Milton slammed the gas, and a moment later he was peeling down the valley road in a powdery whirlwind. My heart pounded as I watched Milton's headlights vanish around the hill. It took a while for my adrenaline to wear off, for my muscles to start working again. But once they did, I lurched up from the snowdrift, dusted myself off. Betty had said somebody escaped from Rivell just then, and the way her voice had been shaken, it didn't sound like she thought Dawson had fallen asleep on duty. Not even a little bit. A shiver ran through me. My eyes found the specter of the Institute, looming high on Brayford Hill. My stomach churned. Were they capturing people? Imprisoning them? Whatever this was, it seemed to go far beyond some nonsense about radioactive snow. Something sinister was going on in this town. The only question was, what? Thoughts for later. If things were half as bad as Betty made them sound, then I knew without a doubt I needed to get to Vanny's. My hands curled into fists. If anything had happened to her... No. I wouldn't let myself think like that. I started moving again, scrambling back up the ridge and marching double time, boots pounding over the road. I hardly made it a few feet when I stopped in my tracks. There, glinting up near Rivell, were a pair of headlights. Probably some night shift employee, I mumbled, stalking off bitterly.
Hope they're paying them as well as they're paying Milton.
Time stretched on. Minutes passed. 10. No, 20 of them. The cold was getting mean now, biting at my cheeks like it had a grudge. I picked up the pace, hugging the curve of the valley road tight as a lover. Rivell disappeared behind the tree line, and with it a weight lifted off my shoulders. Suddenly I was grinning like a loon. Christ, when was the last time I'd felt this alive? This human? Here I was, sticking it to the man. I'd danced through Milton's fingers, giving Rivell's lockdown the middle finger, and even stumbled ass backwards into some grade-A conspiracy dirt. And the cherry on top? I was on my way to see Vanny. For a moment, I felt like that punk-ass kid again. 18, dumb as a box of rocks, and sneaking into the valley for some cheap thrills and cheaper booze. Only this time, I was on a different kind of bender. A secret trek into the heart of something bigger and darker than I could have imagined, armed with knowledge that felt like it could get me killed. There, halfway up Brayford Hill, nestled in the thicket of pines so dense they nearly choked out the glow, were a pair of headlights. I blinked hard, convinced my eyes were playing tricks. But those suckers were real as sin, staring down at me like twin moons hanging in the pine sky. Was Milton really tearing through the woods in his pickup like some backwoods Rambo? Or was it...
Got my eye on you.
My muscles seized up. It was Milton. His voice echoed down from that hilltop, but it sounded all distorted, warped, like it was being played through a faulty megaphone. The headlights blinked. On, off, on, off.
Can't run from me,
he droned. A chill ran up my spine. Surely Milton couldn't actually recognize me from all the way up there, could he? I'd be just a speck to him, faceless as a mannequin. And that meant I could still get out of this with my legs intact, just so long as I made myself scarce before he got down from those trees. I sucked in a sharp breath, bolted. I dove toward the wood, launching myself over the shoulder of the road. My stomach hit the valley slope and started sliding, the icy ground as slick as a loose track. My chest went numb, branches lashed out, snapping across my face as I careened faster and faster downhill until I hit the bottom in an eruption of powder, coughing and sputtering. It was dark down there beneath the canopy, almost pitch. Fishing out my phone, I turned on the flashlight. An army of trees materialized before me. Birch, pine, fir. They all swayed, creaking like decrepit phantoms in the cold breath of winter. Betty's words echoed in my mind. Ravel reckoned you ought to avoid the trees tonight.
To hell with Ravel,
I muttered, swallowing my unease. With no path back, I pressed onward, wandered aimless. I walked this valley countless times, but never amid the midnight shadows, and that made it disorienting. Familiar landmarks seemed alien beneath a blanket of gloom-cast snow. Twigs snapped underfoot. They were joined by the brittle crunch of leaves shaken loose from withered branches. Time passed. Can't recall how much. Before long, I started worrying I was lost, though, that I'd gotten myself stranded, when a boulder up ahead, a monolith I couldn't forget if I tried. It was shaped like a giant pineapple and steeped in the best kinds of memories. It was our rock, belonging to Vanny and me. We whiled away countless summer days nestled in its shade, making music with our bodies, which meant there, just as it should be, the crooked tree. A ragged pine split by lightning's fury, its trunk cleaved in two and hollowed by flame. I was orienting myself at last, gathering my bearings in the lightless wood. My breath fogged before me as I jogged ahead, buoyed by success. Each stride felt lighter, my heart too. With luck, I'd reach Vanny's before her head hit the pillow. I could already picture her face, stone gray with confusion at my doorstep arrival, then melting into belly laughter as I recounted this madness.
Danny?
She'd say, giving that trademark toss of her hair, that mischievous magpie smile.
You are some kind of fool, you know that?
And she'd be right. I was some kind of fool. The kind who... I spun toward the sound, my light scouring, but only a maze of trees stared back. A bear, maybe? No, they'd be hibernating now.
Dawson?
I whispered. Milton was a giant of a man, but also overweight and past his prime. Doubtful he had the stamina to chase me down here on foot, but maybe he'd sent his deputy.
Dawson? That you?
No reply. The forest was deathly still. Not a scurry of squirrels or flap of wings stirred the cold air. I stumbled backwards, the sound ringing out like a gunshot. A low groan followed.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Branches began to snap, falling away as a whistle sang overhead. Whip-like tendrils lashed my back, smashing me to the frozen earth. The forest erupted with a cataclysmic roar as something gigantic crashed beside me, the ground quaking beneath its weight. I wheezed and spat slush, scrambling frantic through the snow. Long, groping fingers slid from my spine. I lurched to my feet, sweeping my light over the hulking form. A primal scream clawing up my throat as...
You gotta be kidding me,
I said, collapsing with an exhausted sigh. Just a tree. A stupid hunk of wood, frozen solid and toppled over. I shook my head. Laughed. I'd actually panicked over getting jumped by Bigfoot. What would Vanny say to that? Probably tell me to lay off those horror novels. Then she'd... My laughter died. Then she'd tell me to lay off the booze, because it was making me skittish and paranoid. And she'd be right. I heaved a sigh. Maybe I'd just keep this story to myself. Brushing the snow from my jacket, I continued on. Had to be close now. Down below was a frozen stream, one that Tommy Welt and I used to catch crayfish in as kids. 6 months ago, Vanny and I had sat beside it discussing marriage and kids. My stomach sank.
You really are some kind of fool, I whispered. You had everything, Danny. And you...
Something swept past. A feeling. It jolted through me like electricity, prickling the hairs on my neck. It felt familiar somehow. And awful. Like that punishing glare up on the valley road. I squinted, casting light between the trees. Nothing. No one. Just shadows dancing ominously. The feeling lingered, though, raising goose flesh on my arms, so I quickened my pace. Don't panic, I told myself, the beam of my phone trembling. It's just your mind playing tricks. Nothing but trees and... A shape darted behind the trunk. Swift. Silent.
Sheriff?
I called out.
That you, Sheriff Milton?
No response. Probably a deer. I shivered and kept walking, spotting a twinkle of lights visible atop a distant ridge through the shifting pines. Vanny's cabin. I'd made it. My fear seemed to evaporate then, replaced by a spreading warmth. It reminded me of better days, happier times. It felt a little like hope.
Boy!
A distorted holler pierced the night. Milton. My heart leapt into my throat, my feet dancing a pirouette
as I raked the darkness surrounding me. It sounded like he had screamed into a megaphone.
"Sheriff?"
I said, desperately trying to control the tremor in my voice.
"Listen now, I wasn't meaning to cause trouble by stepping out, it's just..."
A blaring scream, warped, artificial, like a siren played backwards. But there wasn't any sign of Milton's red-blue flashers. Only endless towers of timber and the darkness that lay between them.
"To hell with this,"
I spat. I took off at a waddling sprint, my boots sinking into shin-deep snow. My breath came in great white clouds. If Milton was lurking in these trees, then he'd well and truly lost his mind, and I wasn't going to stick around for the show. Another digital holler. Milton's voice scratching and skipping through the megaphone.
"Gonna take a piece out of you, I reckon."
"Vinny!"
I shouted.
"Get your damn gun! Milton's gone and lost his mind!"
My gloves pawed at the slope, desperate for a purchase as my chest hammered. I could hear Milton closing in. Heavy footfalls. They crunched across the carpet of snow, uneven and unsettling. I punched another handhold, kicked in a foothold, grunting. I hauled myself up another foot, breath pluming. "Don't panic, Danny. Slow and steady. I can do this. Almost there."
"Van!"
My voice died as my foot slipped, my handhold crumbling away in a flurry of snowflakes. I slid, tumbling down the steep slope in a dizzying blur of branches and brush, and my jaw hit stone, the taste of blood flooding my mouth. My vision swam. I kept rolling out of control. My body bounced, nothing but a spinning mess of limbs and strangled shouts, until my spine slammed into a tree. Pain. My whole body throbbed with pain. I sat there delirious and dizzy, a trickle of blood running from my forehead down my cheeks.
"Vanny!"
I coughed, spitting a tooth into my lap. I looked around in a blurry daze. Darkness. It was all darkness. I'd lost my phone in the fall, and now... footsteps. Out there, roaming in the night. He was circling me, Milton. I could hear his lumbering strides. And maybe it was for the fear pounding through my veins, but he sounded so much more terrifying than he ought to have. He sounded bigger than a grizzly. Bigger than a moose.
"Ain't I told you to stay put, boy?"
Milton's megaphone. Maybe it'd be loud enough to get Vanny's attention. Maybe she could get out here and put a bullet between his eyes before he finished putting one between mine. Milton drew nearer. His breathing was shallow, sharp. Almost like the sound an old television might make flipping between channels.
"It ain't as bad as it seems, Danny."
I blinked, not sure I'd heard right. That voice, it sounded like Benny West.
"The hard part is letting go."
"Vinny?" I stammered, unable to see a thing in the dark.
"I'll be here with you, kid."
"You're dead," I said. "I saw your body. Your brain's all over the drive."
"And part of you envied me, didn't you?"
My throat went dry. This was some kind of nightmare. Some horrible hallucination brought on by booze. It couldn't be real. There was no patching up somebody that looked like Minnie West. There just wasn't.
"You dreamed of death, Danny. I saw it in your face. The only thing we ever had in common. We hated ourselves, you and I. Hated our mistakes. our addictions.
The more Benny spoke, the more his voice seemed to churn, hissing with static. It felt garbled, broken. The sound of it made me want to curl up into a ball, to press a gun to my head and...
You're wrong,
I whimpered.
I don't...
I ain't wrong, kid. You didn't come out here for Vanny. You came out here to escape, to run away from the voice in your...
Light exploded before me. Vicious, vibrant. My hands flew to my eyes. After endless dark, the sudden brightness felt blinding, disorienting.
Time to go, boy.
Milton's voice rang out. I slowly lowered my hands, squinting ahead, and saw a pair of headlights glaring back at me. But how? There weren't any roads that led through the valley floor. It didn't seem possible. Milton drove his Chevy down that slope. More footsteps. Heavy. Uneven. The headlights drew closer. Swaying. Blinking off and on. And no. This wasn't right. I stumbled away. Shaking my head and struggling to find my voice. Headlights didn't sway. They didn't blink. And wheels certainly didn't crunch like footsteps.
What are you?
I demanded. A voice answered in a low, digital moan.
Hungry.
An arm snapped forward like a spring-loaded trap, snatching me in its grip. Long fingers coiled around my torso. I struggled, pulling at them, but the harder I fought, the tighter they squeezed. They were like wires, humming with electricity.
Let me go, you...
My voice vanished as a wave of hopelessness washed over me. My jaw went slack, my eyes hazy. It was like those fingers, those wires were tuned to the frequency of sorrow. Suddenly I felt empty, hollowed out, like there was nothing left inside but all the bad I'd ever done. Images poured through my mind, memories. It was like a mental reel of every last mistake I'd ever made. Everything from getting belted by my father for staying up past bedtime to having my stepmom use my hand as an ashtray for giving her lip. I saw the disappointment in my teachers every time I handed in a failed report. Heard the laughter in the throats of my classmates when I'd screw up a presentation. And then there was Vanny. Vanny Williams. The one good thing I ever had. And I ruined it by passing out drunk 4 nights a week. She'd left me. Word was she and Charlie Keene were a thing now. And I could only imagine how much happier she was with a man that wasn't an absolute fuck-up like me. Benny was right. I did want to die. I wanted it badly. But I kept running from the truth because I was afraid of it. Only I'd spent my whole life afraid. It was time I manned up. It was time I did what was best for me and the people in my life. The fingers coiled tighter, cracking my ribs, and laughter escaped my lips. It was over. Finally, after so much misery, I'd get my taste of oblivion. No more disappointment. No more waking up in my own vomit. I'd be gone, and the world would be all the better for it. I went limp in the creature's embrace, a smile of surrender upon my lips. Its long arm dragged me closer, close enough to make out bits and pieces of its misshapen form. Its body was a mass of corpses, knotted in a tangle of horror. Their bones were lashed together. Their skin hung from the creature like drapery,
oozing black bile in viscous globs. A bald head near its shoulder gleamed back at me. Benny West.
What took you so long, Danny?
He asked. I grinned, my voice strangled by the monster's grip.
Just happy you found me.
A stench of decay engulfed me, so thick I could taste rot on my tongue, but I didn't mind. I thought it tasted beautiful. The creature's maw yawned open, impossibly wide, lined with shattered fangs of glass that led to a gullet of spiraling technicolor static. This close, I could make out more details of its crooked limbs, carved faces, scraps of flannel and denim, all knotted and fused together in a chimeric aberration, pieces of townsfolk sewn into a patchwork of their sorrows. Lucky ducks. And there, molded into the creature's chest, was the severed head of Sheriff Milton. He stared back at me, eyes clouded white, flesh sallow and peeling away. As I watched, the skin of his cheek flayed back further, revealing muscle and sinew working to form words.
I thought I told you to stay inside, boy.
His voice skipped like a scratched record, eyes flashing with digital interference.
You really are the dumbest fuck that ever lived.
Don't I know it? I wheezed, grinning wildly. And as the creature brought me into that mouth of flickering haze, another voice called out. This one from inside. I knew it well. It was the voice that lived at the bottom of every bottle. The one that beat me senseless for leaving the lights on when I was young. That picked apart my every flaw and made sure they stuck. It was shame. It was fear. It was self-loathing and denial. It was my deadbeat father and my witch of a stepmom. It was the abuse that rang inside my skull every time I dared to be less than perfect. Every time I dared to be human. It was me. And it was right. You might think this story has a happy ending. After all, here I sit, writing it out for you. So obviously I escaped the jaws of that unholy thing. The hero survived, did he not? Hell, maybe you think I even managed to save the day. If you do, then I'd say you ain't been paying attention. I'm not the type of man who's cut out for that sort of business. Fact is, I was ready to go gentle into that good night. I would have gone raging, too. I'd have probably hurt people to make them kill me. That's how badly I wanted to die. I felt like an addict desperate for his next fix. Only my next fix wasn't in this life. And so I was aching to abort myself as quick as I could. But Danny wouldn't have it. She'd heard my shouting from down below. Heard that megaphone howl of Milton and Benny. And she'd come running. I remember it clear as anything. Her up on that ridge, rifle against her shoulder. Dark hair snapping in the winter gusts.
Danny!
She'd screamed. The shots must have caught the monster in its eyes because those headlights dimmed, flickering, and I saw what looked like two cracked television screens set within a head fashioned from Brayford's finest. The next two rounds hit the creature in the chest, split Milton's nose into mulch. The monster stumbled backwards, screeching in that electronic warble. It dropped me. It hit the ground and then he kept firing, kept reloading, fire and more.
Run, Danny!
She pleaded.
Get going. I ain't got much more bullets.
But I didn't want to run. All I wanted was to die. To let that thing give me the only gift I ever deserved.
Leave it be!
I bellowed.
Shoot me, Vinny! Please! Just kill me instead!
Don't you talk to me like that, Daniel Richley. You're a good man.
A good man? No, that wasn't me. I was nothing but a dead end. The biggest fuck-up in a town rife with them. More shots. The creature was being driven backward. She was doing it. Vinnie Williams was saving my life for the 1,000th time. Watching over me for reasons I still couldn't fathom.
I never stopped thinking about you.
She shouted down, lowering the rifle to slip a few more rounds in.
Didn't realize until after Charlie and I broke it off, but...
I didn't know if those were gunshots or my heartbeat. Suddenly, that hopelessness inside of me seemed to burn away. The monster's spell, its grip on me, was melting into nothing.
I never stopped loving you, Vinny!
I shouted. She tossed her hair over her shoulder, fired 3 more rounds, gave me that trademark magpie smile.
Danny Richley, you are some kind of fool. You know that? I ain't ever stopped loving you either.
Her finger pulled the trigger, but this time the muzzle didn't flash. She cursed. Her rifle jammed. No. The monster saw its opening, let loose a digital roar. And barreled toward the slope. And I ran too. I tore across the snow, shouting my lungs raw, throwing myself in front of it. And it leapt over me. That shambling mess of corpses crashed against the birch tree in a shower of snow. The timber groaned beneath its weight. Its trunk snapped. But before the tree could fall, the monster had already vaulted to the next, and the next.
Vinny!
I shouted.
Get out of here!
And she did. She turned, bounded toward her cabin, and even got the door closed. But it didn't matter. The monster crashed down in front of it, started tearing her cabin apart like it were made of matchsticks. Bits of lumber flew over the ledge as I rushed toward the slope. I tried to scramble up, but it was useless. Every inch I crawled, I slid back another 3. Vanny screamed. She screamed, and she never stopped screaming. The monster took her, stole her away into the forest until her voice faded, somewhere amidst the shifting trees. I fell to my knees. Frigid tears trickled down my cheeks. Vinnie was gone. Dead. And it was all because of me. I'd led that thing straight to her. Deputy Dawson found me just past sunrise, sitting in the rubble of Vinnie's cabin, alone with my grief.
Danny Richley?
He said, voice thick with disbelief.
The hell happened here?
I told him everything. Told him about the headlights, Ravel, the grotesque monster, and what fate had befallen his missing sheriff.
He's a part of it now, Dawson,
I said in an empty voice.
Milton is. Same as Benny. Same as...
Vinny's name hung on my lips. Somehow, I didn't feel worthy of even speaking it. Dawson heaved a sigh, running an exasperated hand over his boulder of a face.
Look, Danny,
we go back to high school, so let me give you some advice.
I looked at him, sensing an edge to his tone.
You didn't tell me none of that just now. Not a word. What happened is you got drunk, stumbled out of your trailer and fell down a slope like a fool. That's it.
That's not... He lifted a hand, cutting me off.
Trust me, Danny. Ravel ain't the sort of tree you want to be barking up. It don't end anywhere good.
Dawson said the words with an air of finality, like this was the end of it. He helped me into his truck and was even kind enough to give me a lift down to the clinic. But he was wrong. I know what I saw out there, and I don't care what tree I'm barking up. I think other folks know too, especially them researchers up at Rivell. They've been watching me ever since I got back to my trailer, surveilling. They've been driving by at all hours of the day, sunrise to sunset, and more than once I've spotted a man in a white suit going through my trash. Even now, in the dead of night, they're here. Maybe they think I'm asleep, or maybe they've just given up all pretense of keeping a low profile. Don't know. All I know is I can see them through the cracks in my blinds, sitting out here, waiting patiently in my driveway, headlights in the dark.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily, and the best part, guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And that was Headlights by J.G. Martin. A little about the author. J.G. Martin writes about monsters and the things they get up to when we ain't looking. He currently resides in British Columbia with his cat Opie and dreams of someday owning a secret lair behind the bookshelf. We all gotta have a dream. This one's from his book Crooked Gospels, which you can find at theyloxbooks.com and on audible.com. Thanks, J.G. Hey, speaking of Audible.com, I got a new audiobook out called Horn Cranker by the Wild Man author himself, Edward Lee. It's not really new. It was released a month or two ago. It's new to me. Anyway, it's extreme horror, so you've been warned. And if you still want to hear it, go to Audible.com and search Drew Blood and check out all my audiobooks. You might find something you like. You're more likely to find something that's going to make you throw up a little bit, but you might like it. Anyway, that's Horn Cranker by Edward Lee. Go check it out, would you?
And do old Drew Blood a favor, would you? Subscribe to his podcast wherever you do your listening and leave him a 5-star review and a kind word, even if you're listening on YouTube. He needs soldiers on all fronts to win this battle, and he appreciates it. To hear a premium ad-free edition of tonight's and all the other episodes, visit SimplyScaryPodcast.com today and click Patrons in the upper menu. You'll find yourself at ChillingTalesForDarkNights.com, where you can become a patron for as little as $5 per month and get access to their entire audio archive, all ad-free and available to download or stream. Thank you for your time and for supporting our sponsors. When you support our sponsors, you support this show. If you happen to use Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or YouTube, you can follow and subscribe to Chilling Tales for Dark Nights there, where you'll get all the latest updates and new releases and have the chance to interact with them each and every week. Oh, and you can find Drew Blood on Facebook and Instagram, and sometimes Twitter. The Drew Blood's Dark Tales podcast is accepting submissions, friend. If you've got a story or two you'd like to be featured on the show, send it to drewbloodhorror@gmail.com. If selected, you'll get the full treatment, 10 bananas.
Well, I guess this is where we part ways, at least till next week. So grab a drink for the road, friend. May the wind be at your back, and may the road rise up to meet you. And all that other nice stuff. I'll see you all next week, God willing. In the interim, go fuck yourselves. Good night, y'all.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.